Welcome. I'm Janita Stanton. We have Reginald Perryman, Shaka Williams, Erica Simpson. We are Tesari. They are something about real estate podcast where we talk all things real estate.
You ain't say we got Reginald Perryman, did you?
I did.
With the P.
I didn't miss it with the P. I didn't say Perryman.
Perryman. Yeah, Perryman.
Perryman.
And we I'm changing my last name to Perryman because I make par.
Is that the Detroit accent? Do I do that?
Nah.
Oh. Because, you know, that's supposed to be a thing. I only heard it one time in my life, though. I was, like, in my teenage years. We were traveling down south, stopped at one of those rest stops, and somebody was like, you're from Detroit. And I was like, how you know? Oh, Detroiters have an accent.
Nah, they seen them top tens you had on.
Probably. But anyway, so I'm the only person that heard that Detroiters have accents.
I heard it before, but not from nobody.
I got to learn how to. Dean, show me how to do the split screen so I could pull up the TikTok where they talking about how Detroiters got accents. Okay. Anyways, National Association of Realtors. Yep. There was a lawsuit, and now they settling. Yep. Settling.
But it's a proposed settlement. It still has to go through the courts to get approved.
And it should be done by July. Same way. Like
so yep. We don't have to keep saying that, right?
And what most people don't realize, it can take months or even years for it to finalize. So
I just think that sometimes we should make sure we say that a lot of this stuff is coming from our opinions and our perspectives. And, you know, some of it's facts. You can go read it. I definitely make sure I pull some
my
content.
My opinion's always right. Like Shaka said.
Well, opinions is always right, but may not necessarily be a fact. But right. I know that it's proposed that we're supposed to be settled by July, right?
Correct.
Okay. So what's the problem?
The problem is, so here's the issue. So the way it currently is, the listing agent lists the property and charges the seller a commission, right? Which has always been negotiable. But the common person thinks the commission is, say, 6%. Right. That's like the average person think a commission is 6%. So out of that commission, the listing agent offers in the MLS the buyer broker 3% or half or 2%. Yeah. Or some number. Right. So a lot of sellers complain because the market was good. Everybody was getting money. And of course, they feel realtors are overpaid. Why should I pay the buyer's agent? Yeah, but the truth is, you was never paying a buyer's agent. The listing broker was paying a buyer's agent. But we got to keep in mind, each state operates different and how their contracts are. So in our contracts, it says MLS cooperation, the seller's giving us permission to put it in the MLS and offer this amount to a co-oping agent. Mm-hmm. But sellers felt like, why would we compensate somebody that's working on behalf of the buyer? It's like you suing somebody, but you're paying the attorney that's suing mm-hmm. you.
So right? When I'm doing listing presentations, I always explain that. It's never been proposed to me as right. a question, but I guess maybe the teaching, I've always been taught to explain that part of it.
Right.
You know, like, we do this because, so, you know, hey, Mr. Seller, this is how much I charge. And if I'm able to get some help from the industry, I'm willing to share some of my commission.
Right.
And I'm willing to share my commission because that could help us.
Right. So here's the crazy part about it. The way they're proposing this is we can still actually offer the buyer's agent a commission or part of it. We just can't put it in the MLS. But the same result can happen. We just can't put it in the MLS because they feel like all the realtors got together and said, we're all going to charge this number. Well, that's not the case because we don't all charge the same percentage.
And I think a lot of that is fear-based because there has become like a stigma in the industry that it costs this amount. A lot of people do not talk about the fact that those commissions are negotiable. I know I fight for it a lot because I'm often, you know, floating around in a space to where people are saying, well, this is all you make anyways. Well, shit. If I want to, I can, you know, turn it down. I can say no thank you. And I can say I'll take less to help you out. I can, you know, do whatever I want.
Charge more. But I feel like it's greed to me. I feel like it's greed. So I listened to the guy, one of the attorneys today that, because this, I think this lawsuit came out of Missouri, right? And I listened to the attorney that was, and he was just, his point was, his perspective, I get it, but I still feel like it's greedy, right?
Right.
His perspective was, there's nowhere else in the, there's no other business where the seller is expected to pay both sides of the coin, pretty much, right? Where one party is expected to pay both sides, right. I should say, right? And but to y'all point, you're not paying both sides, right? You've always been paying one side. You're paying your the broker that's representing you,
right?
That broker is so, and I think that's what got lost. So it was crazy because this was an actual attorney, the one that filed the lawsuit,
right?
That was talking about this, and I'm like, damn, he don't even understand. He just won a big ass lawsuit, and he don't even understand what's going on. Did you hear how he explained it?
But you're not even understanding that. So I'm actually taking an L. The minute I say, Erica, I'm going to give you a piece of my commission for helping me out, and you know, I'm helping us see this deal through to close by you bringing somebody to the table. You know, I'm actually sharing at that point.
But this is the thing, the key word you said, an attorney, because he's thinking of it from an attorney fiduciary duty thing. So again, an attorney may say, okay, I'm representing my client, you're representing your client, and we're negotiating. Why should my client pay me and then I give you part of it because we're in this negotiation, right? That wouldn't make sense in an attorney's world.
But they do it, though.
Yeah. And then in some cases, you see attorneys where, okay, we're suing this, but you got to pay this plus attorney fees, right? That's all coming from one client, right? So, but the thought process is, again, the seller paying, compensating the buyer's agent, regardless of how the money got to the buyer's agent. And that's how they felt.
So they would feel better if the listing agent just came in and said, I'm charging you 6%. Because what if the listing agent come back now and say, I'm charging 6%?
Yeah, that's what.
I'm still charging 6%.
Yes.
Now I'm keeping it. And now let the buyer's agent come in and negotiate on their buyer's behalf and negotiate their commission. So now you might end up paying more.
Yeah. So, well, but that's a real thing, though, because but it's not what if, because it was always is. I'm just, now I don't have to technically share my commission the same way. And what, to me, what's happening is where people were scared to get their buyers under contract.
Right.
They're forcing it because they've created a rule around it saying you must do it. So they're taking a something that was fear driven away. If you can't be scared to ask for your money now, you're not, you potentially won't get paid, or you have to figure out who to ask. I got to ask somebody for my money.
So here's what was funny to me, because I was reading a CNN story. So people were thinking that the home values were overinflated because sellers were paying a commission and the commission was being split. When really, you're going to see a big change, because now they're forcing buyer's agents to charge the buyer, which we could always do. There was always that in our contracts. It's just the contract stated, if I receive compensation from the listing broker and or seller, then we would credit that towards what we're charging you. So let's say a buyer's agent is charging a buyer 4% and they collect 3% from the listing broker. Now the buyer only has to pay 1%. Now we're telling all the buyers in America, no one's obligated to pay me. You have to pay me up front or at closing. So now we added this fee to the buyer's side, which is fine because it was always there, but it just wasn't common. Most of the time, the buyer's agent relied on a listing broker, if they were a realtor, mm-hmm. To pay that compensation.
Residential.
But that's right. That's also what gets people from not getting their agency contract signed.
Right.
Because they're leaning dependent on the fact that, well, you know, this already taken care of me, was already negotiated up front. So, mm-hmm. Technically, if this person closes with me, now I don't have to, I'm going to get my commission.
Right.
Right. But now what's happening is it's just going to force a person to get their contract signed. So every time I, this is going on now.
Which is a good thing, though.
I was about to say, that's one of the pros.
I said, make sure you send, so she was looking for my contracts. And she was like, I only see a purchase agreement and the lead-based painting and the seller's disclosure. I said, oh, that's because I always get my contracts up front. So sometimes it's not associated with the property address. It may be under the client's name. So just look under the client's name because all of the forms are there. But I think that we have always needed to get into the habit of having buyer's consultations and explaining to them that we don't work for free. There's a cost. This is what it costs. We're going to put you under contract for
my fee. I got a question,
and then if I can
somehow
recoup that from
the
you,
the mortgage by way of queen of Detroit,
Southern
right?
compensation.
And we deal with
so
a lot
forth,
of clients
then
that,
you'll look
let's
out.
Say, they're challenged financially in a way by way of down payment mortgage and closing costs. They qualify for the home, they have a down payment, but they need assistance with closing costs. Typically, in that case, we ask for seller concessions, right? So now here you have a buyer, those same buyers, they're obligated to pay the realtor $3,000, $4,000, $6,000 or whatever, but they're already asking for concessions from the seller for their closing costs. Now they have this additional fee. How do you think that would impact a lot of those buyers?
That's a good question. Yeah, I made a question. For the seller for their closing costs. Now they have this additional fee. How do you
right.
think that would impact?
It's a little
right.
Because, well, I made a post on Facebook right. about it. Because one of my agents called me. I had no clue. And it's a little right. fearful for me because most right. buyers need assistance.
Right.
And they're already struggling with just the down payment and the right. closing costs. Even right. if they get down payment assistance,
right.
they're still struggling, right?
Right.
So, if you add another 3% of the average sales
right. so
price
let me,
150...
Right.
175. I don't know. Okay, they ain't got
it. Right.
Right. So it's going to be concessions.
Right.
No matter what, and then we're going to be running into another issue. So whoever came
right.
up with this, right, is obviously not in real estate. You're obviously not in the mortgage industry.
Right.
And it's not advantageous to the buyer. I'm all for change. You know, like when we after the crash, all these changes happened
right.
with NMLS and the appraisal
right.
influence.
Right.
Like, I'm all for change, but when it, you know, it's a disadvantage to the buyer, like, I'm not for it. I'm dealing with our,
right.
you know,
right.
community.
Right.
Our community is struggling. Matter of fact, it's not
right.
even our community. I'm going to
right.
take that back.
Now, let me
ask
you this.
A lot of people struggle with coming up with 10% for a down payment, period.
This was the big question I had.
Right. Now you're adding another 3%. It's like, yeah, okay.
Most lenders,
and let's see how this goes.
In best case scenario, most lenders will say the max concession you can get is 6% from the seller, right? Do you think, and that's only on FHA and VA, do you think the lenders will recognize this as an issue and say, now we're going to allow a higher
and
maximum
and it's only on FHA and
VA. Do you think the mortgage industry will adapt to this like that?
We're going to need them to go to the powers that be.
Right.
Wow.
Because
do you
think
that I would suggest that they do that.
Right.
Because we're going to need them to go to the powers that be for that one.
Right.
Right? Because it's going to be an
right.
industry change.
Right.
And I would suggest that they do that.
Right.
Because 6% is not covering everything, even on $150,000
right.
loan. It's not covering everything.
Right. Right.
So, you know, if they want to go to 9%, I don't even know who do you go to, HUD or CFPB.
Right.
I don't even know who. I don't know who you would even
program.
Challenge it with.
Right.
I would probably say the Consumer Financial
right.
you know, Protection Bureau, because that is, yeah. So I would say start there, but however you would begin that process would be buyers complaining and lenders complaining, and then, you know, whatever that process is. I personally, I don't think it was a great idea.
It's definitely going to make it a lot more difficult. And what I'm worried about is how the underwriters are going to look at it when they see that on the loan estimate. So now there's the transaction fee that you guys have started to add
in. Oh, it's not on the loan estimate. Your fee commissions are not on the loan estimate.
No, it may not be on the loan estimate, but so right now, currently, they are not on the loan estimate because this is a change. But now you may have to, there are loopholes that you can go through. So like you can send over your agency. You should be able to send over your agency contract, and then the title company acknowledge it.
They're going to have to.
The title company may come in and say, well, it's not on the closing disclosure, and a lender has to see this. You see what I'm saying?
So I had an agent, right, that did this to me a few years ago. And I was a little perturbed because I would have thought he would have said, hey, this deal, buyer is paying my commission.
Yeah.
Right.
And put it in bold, you know, right. Yellow, red, or something on the email.
Right.
Because for me, you know, you're about to kill the deal.
Right.
And so at the end, he's calling the title company, throwing his commission on, and the buyer needs another $3,000 to $4,000.
Right.
And I'm sitting here like, well, Eric, I put it in the email. I'm sitting here, his name was Reggie too. I'm like,
not
Reggie.
Not just Reggie.
I said, listen here.
That's why it should only be one.
I'm sitting here like Reggie, and he's extremely smart and seasoned in the business.
Right.
I said, Reggie, when you're doing something that's unique, right, it's not customary is the word I had to use to him. It's not customary for the buyer to pay the buyer's agent commission. You got to put that bold somewhere. So I had to add it.
Right.
Right. So now loan officers, like, so I add your compliance fee, even though it's not required. If you notice, I always say, hey, what's your compliance fee? Because it's a fee.
Right.
I don't have to disclose it.
Right.
So now loan officers put it on the loan estimate because you can stick it on there because you want to give a buyer an all-inclusive estimate.
Right.
Right. Exactly. It's not required, but let's just be real. Mm-hmm. Out of pocket is out of pocket, whether it's required by law or not.
Right.
This conversation literally just had it because they have to.
I didn't like it.
So I want to say something real quick, though. So it's not just going to impact buyers. The sellers, too. Because now the buyers aren't going to be able to buy your house.
Yeah.
So it's going to impact both parties. It's not just, they can, but I'm saying if they're.
It's going to limit the amount of buyers.
It's actually going to scare them. It's going to scare the buyers because the buyer won. So what they're trying to say now is, all right, the buyer, you don't have to use an agent. No shit. You never had to use an agent, right?
Right.
But you go hire an agent for the same reason you go hire an attorney.
Right.
Because they know their job better than you do, right?
Right.
So now they're going to be scared to hire, or they're either going to do two things. They're going to be scared to hire one, or they're going to go for the discounted buyer's agents.
Because
you know you're going to hire them. They was talking about Redfin. Redfin was happy as hell about this.
Right.
Because they like, we're doing 1% anyway.
Right.
What? They're doing 1%.
So this wasn't for the buyer, right? So now we're talking about it, right? This doesn't benefit the buyer.
It doesn't benefit anybody.
It doesn't benefit the buyer. And I'm thinking.
Well, here's where I see is going to happen for a period of time, right? Go ahead.
I had the thought. I'm sorry. It's back. So now I get to go to you, listing agent, and I can get rid of the buying agent, right? Listing agent gets to make the 6%, but I technically don't, or whatever, right? And that's fine because now I used to call it double dipping, right? Mm-hmm. But now you don't have buyer representation. So I'm a consumer. I don't have representation.
Right.
I go to the buyer's agent the seller's agent, who working for the VAF of the seller. And now because I can't afford to pay you, right?
She's smarter than some agents.
To pay Janita and Reggie, so I'm going to go. Oh, no.
Yeah. But wait a minute. Yep. Rewind to the previous episode where she's talking about she bought her house
Yeah.
From an agent.
Without representation.
Who was a seller. Right. Without her own representation. So she ain't had no inspection period. She couldn't negotiate her time. She couldn't go
she
in. And,
she didn't feel like it, right?
Because she didn't know because she didn't have representation.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know
what? But what I'm, the point is, if you would have had someone working, if I would have been there working on you, first of all, I'd have been like, Erica, I'm this was $135,000 right now today is a little questionable. Let me run some numbers. Make sure we got some inspection time in there because you're going to have somebody come in there and check out certain things. If they find something, now you may be able to go back to the seller and say, now where I was considering paying is $135, I absolutely cannot. So bring it down 10 because your plumbing system is jacked or whatever. I don't know. But I'm just saying that the buyer needs representation, people, somebody who can speak up for them.
Right.
So would it, can this get overturned? Because here's the thing. If you argue with it, you go to the consumer CFPB, right? Mm-hmm. And you say, now buyers are going to go to listing agents with no representation. And we're all for the consumer now, right? This is what this whole lending is about for consumers. That doesn't work.
Let me explain something. You hit it right on the nail on the head or whatever, however you said. So, when I started, there was no agency disclosure, none of that, right? And the buyers would go to call on the yard sign, go see the property and get the offer. Then all the lawsuits happened because they're like, hey, this person was showing me the house. They wrote the offer. It was implied that they were representing me, but really they were representing the seller. So all the lawsuits came out. So then we had to disclose agency. So now we created a situation where we're overlooking all of that and saying, oh, by the way, even though I got a buyer agency agreement signed with you that I'm going to pay you, I'm going to go to this open house, that open house, and I'm going to work with the agent that has the listing. And I'm just not going to tell you I brought a house. Now that's going to create a situation. Wait, you owe me money. You signed this contract. Now you're going to have a bunch of buyer's agents chasing buyers down for their money because we had an agreement and a contract that you were going to pay me for performing certain services, right? The listing agent is going to be challenged too because they'll be able to write the offer, but in most cases, they're not going to want to be a dual agent. And the buyer is going to say, I'm not even going to report back to my agent because I don't want to pay that $8,000, $10,000, $4,000, whatever. I just want to get this deal done. The other thing you're going to start seeing is you're going to start seeing attorneys pop up saying, we'll do your real estate transaction for $2,500 flat fee. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Because what we know in the industry, I submit an offer on your house. It don't get accepted. Now I submit another offer. I'm going to take that offer to the attorney. Every offer I submit. Right.
And every change.
And then every change you counter.
Every addendum.
Then we get the FHA addendum. Then we do the inspection. Now we got to negotiate that. Every time you go back and forth to that attorney, you getting charged by the hour and you on your fourth house already.
Then they're going to realize how little realtors are actually getting paid while they talk about they're getting overpaid. Right.
Right. Then
when they start
the buyer,
paying them damn attorney fees.
And the difference between the buyer agent and attorney, the attorneys are going to be charging
by
up front.
Hour.
So now you're going to have buyers saying, okay, I'm going to just go to an attorney and do this, which is fine. We always recommend you have an attorney to review the documents. Mm-hmm. But all the little nuances of the transaction just to get the offer accepted now and get it to the point where we can even order an appraisal, it takes some negotiation.
Does a real estate attorney even know how to write a PA?
The real estate attorneys do, but not all attorneys.
But the stuff that they do, they mark up the deal sometimes, and it'd be like, all you needed to just say was shall do it, and we're good.
Right.
So my experience with dealing with real estate attorneys has always been a nightmare. I think they're too
legal.
They're too legal, and they make the situation difficult for us. If I'm murky, and even when I have to deal with banks,
right,
and whoever the attorney is that's signing on behalf of the bank, we're not going to sign this FHA a mandatory clause. or real estate search because it has this verbiage. And then I have to say,
then was the forms the legal community created.
A legal somebody.
An attorney.
An attorney, I'm sure, drafted this form. And this is an FHA. What does FHA stand for?
Federal Housing Administration.
Right. It's their form. You have to sign it or we don't have a deal. Mm-hmm. And it was that those words I had to say to the attorney. Mm-hmm. To, right. So much so that it took 2-3 weeks for him to understand. I said, sir, please just look the form up. It's not going to close without it. FHA, we're going to get it. You guys have to waive it. So I don't know.
Not saying attorneys are bad.
No, we're not. We like attorneys, but.
I'm going to say one more thing. So people are going around saying, well, this has always been the thing in commercial, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, the people that are buying commercial are not, they're, you know, more educated than the common individual purchasing a home.
Right.
You get what I mean? So they have a little more knowledge.
Right.
You know
it's also not as policed.
And one thing industry. About...
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, they can do that because, shit, we can negotiate our own... If I never got my real estate license, I could still negotiate my own deal.
Right.
Right? Because I have information. But we're just talking about a first-time home buyer. Right. Somebody that don't know shit.
And I think that is kind of a point, too, because, like, well, who does this affect? It definitely is going to affect sellers. But when we're talking about, like, really, really hurting first-time home buyers who don't have a whole lot of money and assets, and then newbie agents who don't have, like, you know, like,
I think the newbie agents would be easier to adapt. They don't have nothing to compare it to.
No.
Like, just think, if you're just getting in the business this month and your broker says you have to do it this way, you don't know anything else.
So I just had this conversation. So my oldest son is deciding to go after his license. And I told him, I said, you know, one of the things, we're getting ready to have some industry changes. So maybe we should try to do some scripts, get you comfortable talking about money. And he said, you know, it's funny you mentioned that because when I was working at Anytime Fitness, because he's a personal trainer, right. He was like, I would always bring people in the door and, you know, get memberships added. Right. But he was like, I would just turn it over. Every time it came to talk about the pricing and the money and pain, he was like, I don't want to have that conversation.
Oh, well, then he ain't going to be.
No, that's not necessarily true because I understand where he's coming from because I was a new agent, too, who didn't want to talk. That's how I understand, like, the fear around talking about money.
It should help them because now you're going to come in and now you have to do. So I think that was one of the cons. Agents were lazy.
Right.
They didn't want to do their damn job. Like, secure your money.
Yeah.
You know, now you got to come in here and do your job and show your value. The only reason you feel that way is because you're not confident in the value that you provide.
Right. Exactly. No, but there's no dispute against the fact that now it's going to force people to do their job. But it is still also, on the flip side, going to hurt newbie agents because they're going to fail because
they don't want to say I'm worth this, how much it's going to cost for me to do my job. If you want to hire me as an agent, this is how much it's going to cost for you to hire me as an agent. So they're going to fail because they can't tell their value is.
I think you're saying it from a very, you're an expert in the industry. You talk money all the time. You have a whole lot of experience. And newer people coming into a sales industry where, you know, talking money is not necessarily everybody's strong suit.
This may not be your industry.
Right. So here's the thing, right? You're going to get a lot of agents that's going to fall off or fall out of the industry. But this is really going to help weed out some of the buyers that are just casually doing it or looky-loos because now every realtor is going to have a buyer agency agreement. And what's going to happen over the next 6 months, a buyer's going to call and say, hey, I want to see this house. And they're going to get hit with, you need the buyer agency agreement. This is what I charge. They're going to say, I didn't have to do that before. Then they're going to call the next person. They're going to hear the same thing. Then eventually they're either going to find a way or try to find a way around it, find a discount broker, or they're just going to come to grips with this is how it's going to work. But here's the other thing you brought up that nobody is really talking about. This only impacts realtors, not real estate agents and brokers, because it's against the Association of Realtors, where every real estate agent is not a realtor or a member of the association. So they can do what they want, and they was never in the MLS anyway, so they can offer whatever type of compensation they want. And I don't think nobody from the legal standpoint, they wanted to sue NAR because NAR is a big conglomerate and they organization and they got money. So the big brokers, Keller Williams Settle and some of the other big brokers, and there's still several brokers out there that wasn't included and protected by NAR's settlement. They are not part of it. So they're going to have to either settle or keep fighting it. But it's just like, what about the people that are real estate agents? And this is the one time I say wholesalers kind of had it right. Because it's like, I'm bringing you a house, I'm charging you. I'm charging you an assignment fee, $20,000, $30,000 for bringing you a good deal. I'm bringing you good value. Right? And that's it. And that's how agents are going to have to operate.
So it's similar to the, now y'all get to see from my perspective on the contractor where everybody coming out saying, give me a bid. And, and then I say, well, I charge for bids. They like, what? When I don't pay for bids, that's not normal. Well, that's, I pay for, I charge for bids. We talk about it off air.
So the notice
some
of,
start at $100
or not. I don't do
but
that.
But it's worth it though.
The notice of buyer's agency agreement, we're probably going to have to use that before scheduling the showing.
You're going to have to charge up front to go show houses.
If but
from what you said, well, the buyer signed. A buyer's agency contract with their agent.
Right.
But then they on the 10th house, they went and started working with the seller's agent.
Right.
And now the buyer's agent got to track that commission down somewhere. But if I call and I say, let's just get this paperwork out the way now, you know, because I got to get somebody to, we got to know who paying me.
Well, minimum. So you have a minimum fee.
Here's the thing. It's already in the buyer agency agreement for a non-refundable retainer fee. Yeah. We're going to start seeing more agents charging a fee up front to get started because you might have to show 20 houses. You might have to show 40 houses over the next several months. It's no guarantee you're going to close. So some agents are going to start saying, you got to pay me regardless if you close or not, because you not closing was not my fault. I delivered. I presented an offer. Just like on the seller side, if I bring you a willing, ready, and able buyer and we get to close and you back out, I'm still entitled to a commission based on our agreement. Imagine that on the buyer side, because a lot of buyers' deals fall through because they went and messed their credit up or something unforeseen happened that they couldn't control, or they had a bad loan rep that didn't do their job and said, oh, we forgot to check for child support or whatever the case may be. And now you're not closing and you're going to have some buyer's agents that's going to say, oh, you still owe me. So it's going to be crazy. I'm just waiting to see what happens.
At the end of the day now, though, it's shit, even more than ever, you got to go get listings, right? Even more than ever. So you can.
Someone sees with listing leads available on Amazon.
Right.
Prime. Someone sees with listing leads by Reginald Perryman.
And say it louder.
Someone sees with listing leads. Four listing leads.
By
Reginald
on
Perryman.
Amazon. So go on Amazon, get the Someone Sees for Listing Leads by Reginald Perryman.
Yep.
Perryman. That's a wrap.